Every single person has their own Mitzrayim. Shalom, everyone. We are approaching the great, great Yom Tov of Pesach, Zaman Cheiruseinu, Yetziat Mitzrayim. The centrality of Yetziat Mitzrayim is very, very clear throughout the Torah. There is a mitzvah to remember the Exodus verbally, not only on Leil Pesach, which is the Seder, but even during the year, and we paskin twice a year. So in the Shema, when we say the verse at the end of the third paragraph of the Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Otseisi Eschem Meretz Mitzrayim, Leyes Lechem Elokeim, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. So even the Art Scroll Siddur has a little note that says, one should have intention to fulfill the mitzvat asei of remembering the Exodus of Egypt. It is the basis of mitzvot like Shabbos, like Pidyon HaBen, like Tefillin, many other mitzvot as well. But what's interesting is there is one particular passage in the Haggadah that I want to call your attention to. And that is towards the end of the Maggid. Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatza Mimitzrayim. Every person must regard themselves as if they were personally liberated from Egypt. Meaning, I don't simply remember what God did for my ancestors, but I myself must be margish. I myself must feel that I was liberated from Mitzrayim. This is not commemoration. This is actual experience. And the question is very simple. What does it even mean for me to have to believe that I was in Mitzrayim and I was taken out? I was never in Egypt. I was certainly not a slave in Egypt. It's one thing to say, I have to be grateful to God for what he did for the Jewish people. Had there not been a Yetziat Mitzrayim, there wouldn't have been a Jewish people. All of that is fine. And that point is, in fact, made in the earlier part of the Haggadah that says if God wouldn't have taken our ancestors out of Egypt, perhaps we would still be slaves or we'd be assimilated or we wouldn't exist, or whatever pshat you learn over there. But that's not the same thing as saying it's as if I myself was in Mitzrayim. So there are two explanations that are offered for this somewhat enigmatic and elusive obligation. Explanation number one is offered by the Rambam, and it seems to be a form of the utilization of the power of imagination to generate spiritual emotional responses. And that is the following. It is true that factually, empirically, I was never a slave. I was never in Egypt. But how am I able to feel gratitude to God for an event that happened so many thousands of years ago, which I was not a personal part of? So the only way I can do it is by harnessing my dimyon, harnessing my imagination. Imagine what it's like to be a slave. Imagine the humiliation, imagine the beatings, imagine the lack of privacy, imagine the hard work, imagine the starvation. And only when you put yourself in the scene are you then able to be grateful to the Almighty for what he did for us. So according to the Rambam's understanding, it is not the pshat that factually I was in Mitzrayim, but rather I have to imagine ki'ilu I was there, because that will generate the necessary emotional response. Indeed, Rav Chaska Levenstein, Zichrono Livracha, one of the great, great, great Balei Musar of the 20th century, used to say that a good Bal Musar has to have a powerful imagination. You have to imagine what Kriyas Yamsuf was like. You have to imagine what Matan Torah was like. Because the only way I really connect to the power of the experience is by putting myself there. Lahavdil, I don't want to draw a direct comparison, but this is similar to method acting, in which the actor must try to experience the emotions of the character as if it was actually part of his life in real time, and then he's able to communicate. So that is the Rambam's approach, that Chayav Adam Lirot Es Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim is training your imagination to feel the experiences of the past, even though you literally were not part of that experience. That is answer number one. Answer number two is offered by the Mekubalim, the mystics, and they actually say, as a matter of empirical fact, in the 600,000 souls, these are the males of 20 up, that were in Mitzrayim, were the totality of all of the neshamot of Am Yisrael that would ever be born. So yes, me in my present physical body was never in Mitzrayim, but in fact, my soul, which was connected to the 600,000 root souls, was in fact in Mitzrayim. The Mekubalim take it quite literally. Each person must understand that their soul did experience Yitziat Mitzrayim. So we have the Rambam's interpretation, which is harnessing the power of imagination. We have the Mekubalim's interpretation that quite literally, my soul was part of the 600,000 root souls that experienced the slavery of Mitzrayim and the freedom. But there's a third explanation, a very powerful explanation, that is offered by Rav Shneur Zalman, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, in the Tanya itself, although he only devotes one line to it. He really does not elaborate, but it's a powerful, powerful explanation. And he points out that the word Mitzrayim has a double meaning. Mitzrayim does mean Egypt. And as believing Jews, we do believe in the historicity of the Exodus, that the Jewish nation were slaves in the Egyptian nation, and God physically took us out of that slavery through the 10 plagues and the splitting of the Red Sea. No one is denying the literal and historical aspect of that account. But the Baal HaTanya says Mitzrayim has an additional meaning as well. Mitzrayim refers to boundaries, constrictions, limitations, blockages. When David HaMelech says in Tehillim, we say this in Hallel, Min HaMeitzar Karasika, I call out to God from the narrow, confining places where I feel trapped in life. Meitzar, Anani BaMerchavka, answer me with expansiveness. So Mitzrayim can refer not just to the nation of Egypt, but to all of the blockages and constrictions and limitations that prevents me from connecting to Hashem, to other people, to my inner self, my own potential. Seen in that way, says the Baal HaTanya, every single person has their own Mitzrayim. I could have the Mitzrayim of arrogance and gaiva. I can have the Mitzrayim of lack of self-esteem, depression, anxiety, inability to connect to others, anger, laziness, hedonism. All of these are my enslavers. And it's been well said that the enslavers that are within me are much more powerful than the enslavers that are outside of me. And the saying goes, modeled on an old cigarette commercial, you can take the Jew out of Mitzrayim, but it's much more difficult to take Mitzrayim out of the Jew. So says the Baal HaTanya, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jews out of Mitzrayim, he put into creation a spiritual force that recurs and reappears every single year in which I can link myself to that liberation. And I can be liberated from the Mitzrayims that enslave me. So the statement, each person must regard himself as if he was taken out of Mitzrayim, does not have to mean I have to imagine I was a slave in Egypt and taken out of that slavery. But rather, each person must identify his own inner Mitzrayim and understand that the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim, God will give us the wherewithal, the koach, the capacity to be liberated from the Mitzrayims that enslave us. Which means as we read the Haggadah, there is kind of a double messaging that is going on, both levels at the same time. There is, of course, the great collective story of the Jewish people, how the Jewish people were formed, how God kept his promise, his covenant to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, how he liberated us from slavery so we would get the Torah and create an ideal society in the land of Israel. And this is the historical narrative of Am Yisrael that is lovingly recounted from parent to child, year after year, and as we know, even people who are otherwise very far from the observance of mitzvot feel a need to come together Pesach night and share this story. That is the level of commonality. That is our national story. That is a Dovra Shavu L'chol Nefesh. Every single person has that story. That is our story. But that's level one. There is a level two that is more private, more intimate, more idiosyncratic, in which I link my own personal Mitzrayims with the historical process of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And I turn to God to let me be liberated from those things that enslave me. Now maybe I'll want to share that story with other people, or maybe I won't. This is not part of the public Seder, so to speak. But side by side with the public aspect of the Seder is the private introspection of what is called Chevut HaNefesh, the liberation of the soul from its own enslavements. Now, once again, nothing is a guarantee. Remember that even Yetziat Mitzrayim itself, four-fifths of the Jewish people died in the plague of darkness. Not everybody made it out. It could very well be with respect to our personal Yetziat Mitzrayim. If we don't put in the effort, if we don't have the introspection, if we don't engage in the process of thinking out things, perhaps we will not necessarily achieve it. But the opportunity is there. The potential is there. The ability is there. And if that koach, if that power does exist, what a shame it would be not to utilize it. So there is the double meaning. There is the public Seder, the historical narrative, the community formation of Am Yisrael as a nation dedicated to God. And I do want to make it very, 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 very clear that in no way am I minimizing the importance of that. That is certainly the halachic mitzvah of the night to focus and discuss that. But at the same time, there is a private Yetziat Mitzrayim that each of us have to undergo. Seen in this way, this could be the source of a beautiful interpretation of the famous statement of Rabban Gamliel. Again, this is at the very end of the Maggid, right before the second cup. And it's taken from the Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim that Rabban Gamliel says, anyone who does not explain three central commandments of the Pesach Seder has not fulfilled his obligation. And the three commandments are Pesach, the Korban Pesach, Matzah, the mitzvah to eat matzah, and Maror, the mitzvah to eat bitter herbs. Now, once we understand that Yetziat Mitzrayim is both a public historical event and a private process that we go through, we could understand Pesach, Matzah, and Maror not only in terms of their public functions as defined in the Torah, but part of my own journey out of my inner slavery to freedom. I'm going to start with Maror first, and then I'll go backwards. I'll explain why I'm starting in reverse order. What is Maror? Maror is an obligation to eat something bitter in order to commemorate the slavery, to remember the bitterness of slavery. Well, perhaps with respect to my own Yetziat Mitzrayim, the lesson is that the very first step to achieving inner spiritual freedom is that you recognize you're a slave. If you live in a state of denial, if you don't recognize there are things that are wrong within me that I need to correct in my life, whether it's a midah, whether it's a relationship, then by definition, you'll never be able to correct yourself. You'll never be able to leave your Mitzrayim until you acknowledge that you have a Mitzrayim. The first step if you're lost, to finding the right way, is to admit that you're lost. I remember when I lived in Maryland and I had to go from Silver Spring to Baltimore, and you take the road 95, major highway, going north. But there's a turnoff to 95 South that if you're not watching, you could find yourself 95 South. So when I was still inexperienced, I wasn't thinking, I'm driving from Silver Spring to Baltimore, and all of a sudden I see the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, which you do not see from on the way to Baltimore, you only see it in Virginia. So I had a very sickening suspicion, of course, that I was on 95 South. But you know, I didn't want to admit I was on 95 South because I didn't really know how to get back. So I started, I can't even explain this, it sounds so ridiculous, but I started playing games with myself. I started saying, you know, maybe you could see the Washington Monument from Baltimore, you just never noticed it before. I didn't want to admit I was lost. So what was the consequence? I kept on going and going and going the wrong direction. So Maror is the reminder. You want to get out of Mitzrayim? Know that you have a Mitzrayim. Admit it. Don't sweep it under the rug. That's Maror. We then come to Matzah. Now Matzah too is a very familiar symbolism. It's been said by many Svarim that Chometz is puffed up, filled with air. Chometz represents arrogance, conceit, gaiva. Matzah is humble, and that's a well-known symbolism. But Maharal gives a different twist on it. It's not a contradiction, just a different thing to look at. And that is, he says, Chometz represents inertia. If water falls on flour, you don't need a starter, you don't need yeast. Water hits flour, after 18 minutes, it is chametz. If you do nothing, the damp flour will become chametz. In order to make it matzah, you must do something. You must bake it before the 18 minutes passes. So therefore, instead of saying chametz is arrogance and matzah is humility, which is of course a well-known idea, the Maharal says chametz is inertia and matzah is decisive action. And that's important because even if you've taken the maror and you honestly know your problems and you honestly recognize Mitzrayim, matzah says do something about it. You know, there are people who can go to psychotherapy for many, many, many years and they have all sorts of insights about every trauma they ever suffered in their life. You know, birth trauma, conception, you know, pregnancy trauma, conception trauma, maybe even preconception trauma, whatever it is. They know everything about themselves. But the question is, what do you do about it? How do you turn it into something positive? Matzah teaches awareness is important, but the awareness then has to be a prelude to something constructive, something that helps put you on the right track. And even when that seems hopeless and difficult, Chazal gave us a promise of mitzvah gereres mitzvah, that once you start doing a mitzvah, something good, there's a certain momentum, there's a certain spiritual energy that gives you confidence, gives you strength, gives you siyata dishmaya. So maror is the cognition of something that needs to be fixed. Matzah is the imperative of doing something about it. Now, what is the Korban Pesach? Well, I'm going in reverse order. I'll explain why in a moment. So there are many things we can learn from Korban Pesach, but one very interesting part of the Korban Pesach is that you're not allowed to bring it alone. You have to bring it with other people. Hopefully your family, but if you don't have a family, you join with other people. It's machlokes in the Gemara, but this is how the Rambam paskins. Ein shochtin es ha-pesach ha-layochid. The Korban Pesach cannot be brought by a single individual, even if you have a big, big appetite, and even if it's a tiny little lamb, and you could finish the whole thing yourself. Halachically, the Korban Pesach must be brought with a group. And the lesson here is very apparent. When we want to leave our Mitzrayim, we need to do so by connecting with others, by being part of a group. whether it's our family, whether it's even the relationship of husband and wife, larger community, because we know that we need each other, that each of us gives chizuk to each other. Shlomo HaMelech says in Koheles, Tov v'mashnayim min o'echa, two are better than one. For if one falls, who will pick him up? If there are two and one falls, ha'echad yakim es chaveiro, one will be able to pick up the other. And chut ha'mishulash, and if it's a threefold rope, lo bimheri yinotek, it's very, very difficult to pull that apart. Shlomo HaMelech is not only talking about slipping on the ice, although undoubtedly that is true. He's talking about life. All of us have moments of weakness, moments of fear, lack of confidence, moments of sadness. But when we're connected to other people, they can give me chizuk when I'm weak, and hopefully I will be there to give them chizuk when they're weak. So in a sense, Rabban Gamliel's trilogy applies not only to the public Yetziat Mitzrayim, but to the spiritual journey that all of us have to take. The cognitive awareness of my inner Mitzrayim, awareness of what I need to fix. Matzah, the imperative of action. And finally, finding a community, either within a family or beyond a family, in which you work together for the same goals. And everyone has their own unique mission, of course. But we both, you know, everyone wants to move in that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the only remaining question you might ask is, if we identify Maror as an awareness of my Mitzrayim, and we identify Matzah as doing something about it, then quite logically, one should eat the Maror and then the Matzah, because I need to know my slavery and then I can do something about it. And yet, in the Pesach Seder, we first eat the Matzah, then we eat the Mara. Later we have matzah again, but initially we first eat matzah and then Mara. I would suggest that here too, there is a psychologically powerful idea. It is true that I can't really work on a problem till I've identified what the problem is. But if I start with my problem at first, I get depressed, I get debilitated, I feel like a failure. So before you start thinking about your inadequacies, you need to internalize that you have the capacity to change. Meaning, realize you're capable of virtuous action. Then focus on the negativities. And then you combine the maror and the matzah, the problem and the solution, in the eating of the korach. So ein achinami, it's certainly going to be the case that before I can take action, I need to know what the problem is, but I have to internalize that I have the ability to take that action so that when I focus on the negatives, they don't dishearten me, they don't depress me, they don't make me feel that I'm incapable of spiritual growth. So these are, I think, ideas that all of us could think about. Remember that, once again, there is the public story, which is very, very important. In fact, one needs to study even after the Seder is over. If you're still up, if the four cups of wine haven't knocked you out, one should continue to study about Yetziat Mitzrayim. But I would also hope that we'd also take some time to introspect, both before Pesach and even during Pesach, about the chametz of our heart and how we can also eradicate that and how each of us can achieve the inner Yetziat Mitzrayim that Chayav Adam Liras Asasma, that the Bala Tanya says is the essence of the statement, that each person must experience their inner Mitzrayim and must experience their Yetziat Mitzrayim. So Chag Sameach.